Welcome to Life Study of the Bible, a presentation of Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee, a servant of the Lord for over seven decades, culminated his ministry with a 21-year book-by-book exposition of the entire Bible, which he called Life Study. This Life Study is the basis for our program today and includes short portions of the spoken messages given by Witness Lee. Now, let's join today's program. We all know the story of Jacob. Of course, he had 12 sons, each one very different. These 12 sons then became the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. And the good land of Canaan was eventually apportioned to these tribes, the descendants of Jacob's 12 sons. The account of how these different parcels were passed on to the various tribes of Israel may seem to us to be a meaningless bit of history as God's New Testament people. Yet it is recorded in the book of Joshua, and as we will see today, it helps to convey a very meaningful and very experiential aspect of our own enjoyment of Christ. Ron Kengis has joined us again as we consider the allotment of the good land to the tribes of Israel. Welcome back, Ron.
I enjoy considering the good land because it's a type of Christ in his all-inclusiveness, and the allotment of the good land depicted here and is precious because it reminds us that we have a portion of the all-inclusive Christ allotted to us. It also reminds us that we have a certain measure, no greater and no less, allotted to us by God in his sovereignty with the body of Christ in view. So once again, and perhaps surprisingly to some, we have delightful things to consider from the life study of Joshua related to the portion of the all-inclusive Christ allotted, measured out by God to us. One Christ, but different portions, different measures, and therefore different degrees of experience and enjoyment of him.
As you pointed out, the good land we've seen many, many times in this life study is really the picture of Christ. And without that view, then a lot of these passages, a lot of these chapters of the Old Testament are hard to kind of wade through, it seems, Ron, because their relevance just seems to escape us. But when we see this all-inclusive type, it really changes everything in terms of our enjoyment, our appreciation, and the understanding that's afforded by these Old Testament passages, doesn't it?
It does. And this is the life study approach, which is to present the truth, and then based upon the truth, to see how the experience of Christ as life is revealed in any particular matter. And this is also to view the scriptures from the perspective that God had in writing them, and that is his eternal economy, to have a people redeemed and enjoying Christ so that he would have in them the corporate expression of himself.
Well, as we've seen, these Old Testament stories so frequently provide us with a picture of our New Testament apprehension, appreciation, and enjoyment and experience of Christ, and that's really the case today. The story is that Moses has passed on, and the Lord tells Joshua to allot the land according to its geography and specific location to each of the various tribes. Chapter 13 begins with the Lord telling Joshua, "You are old and advanced in years, and very much of the land remains to be possessed. Now, therefore, apportion this land for an inheritance to the nine tribes and the half tribe of Manasseh." And so each one got a portion, some of it quite good in quality, quite expansive, other of it perhaps more difficult to manage, and we'll see there's a significance to that as this message unfolds. Let's join Witness Lee.
After taking possession of the land, Joshua was commanded by God to allot all the land to God's people, including those parts of the land not possessed yet. Why? In God's eyes, all the land are for Israel. What is the intrinsic significance of the allotment of the land? Well, the wise God allotted the same land, that's Christ, but to different tribes. All the tribes are not the same. They're different. You better read Genesis 49. The father of the 12 tribes gave them a blessing. There was a blessing, but there was also a kind of prophesy. So the allotting of the land signifies what land you would possess according what you are. If you are Dan, you get poor peace. Eventually, you are the only one wandering homeless. If you are Zebulun, Naphtali, so gold for transportation, you get a place with a haven and a river. So our God is wise. I tell you, this was a type. A type needs a fulfillment. And the fulfillment is among us. Today, you have your Christ. I have my Christ. And she has her Christ. Our experiences concerning Christ differs. We have different sizes and different types of Christ. And the size and the type all depend not upon Christ, but depend upon us, depend upon the enjoyer. Isn't this in the Bible?
Well, Ron, certainly in the introduction today we alluded to this, but I think no doubt this must be a very strange and new thought to many people hearing this. Of course, there's only one Christ, but even to use his language here, you have your Christ, I have my Christ, she has her Christ. What is this really referring to?
Let's reiterate the foundational so there's no misunderstanding. Christ in himself is uniquely one and the same. And not subject to variation. But in the experiences of the believers, Christ is not the same in measure, in degree. Before going back to the type in relation to the tribes, let's use a New Testament illustration. When Paul was writing the first epistle to the Corinthians, he was writing to the Church of God at Corinth. He was addressing believers in Christ. He said that he could not speak to them as spiritual, but as infants. He called them fleshy. Well, they are believers in Christ, children of God.
Redeemed.
Paul is a believer in Christ, children of God. Both redeemed, both regenerated. Did they have the same Christ? Well, as far as the object of faith is concerned, they all had the same Christ, the Christ who in himself is the same. But surely the Christ experienced by Paul was vastly greater than the Christ experienced by those believers in Corinth. It wasn't one of them who said, Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us. It wasn't one of them who said that the spiritual rock is Christ, cleft for us. It was Paul who spoke of all these things, because Paul's Christ, experientially speaking, was different from the Corinthians' Christ. To deny that this is the case is to deny the New Testament principle that grace is measured out according to the gift, that even the measure of faith differs from believer to believer. We all have the same Christ, but the extent of this Christ in our experience is simply different. Now, in the Old Testament with the type, we know from Jacob's prophesying in Genesis that the situation of his sons was not the same. Judah's situation was different from Dan's. And the prophecies spoken concerning them were somewhat reflective of their condition and of what their portion was as assigned by the sovereign God. So now the tribes come into the good land, and the good land is allotted to them, literally by lots. So there's no human subjective element here. It's something under God's sovereignty. But Dan does not get the same portion of the good land as Judah.
Right.
That is just the way it is. And that indicates that the one unique, all-inclusive Christ, who in himself is the same and not subject to variation, differs very much in our experience of him. And so, speaking from the standpoint of the Christ we experience, we may speak of Paul's Christ, the Corinthians' Christ, your Christ, and my Christ. And this ministry is very rich. And if we are sober-minded, as we are receiving the ministry and the messages, we will have to confess. Witness Lee's Christ is much greater and much different experientially from the Christ of a lot of Christians in this country. And the desire in this ministry is to present the all-inclusive Christ so that all the believers may enjoy their allotment, their portion. But there's no point in comparing or whining about the different measures. If one has a problem, take that up with the sovereign God. He put us in the body as it pleased him. He determined what kind of gift we were. He gave us the measure of faith. He gave us the measure of grace. Let us all be content with the fact that the all-inclusive Christ can be experienced only by the body of Christ, God's people corporately, and in the body of Christ, different portions of this Christ are allotted to us. That's what's revealed in the picture. That's what's revealed in the New Testament. And that is what is verified in our experience, honestly expressed according to the divine truth.
Mm-hmm. Another picture in the Old Testament that makes this same point is one we're going to draw on in this coming segment, and that is in Leviticus, where we see Christ typified by the offerings, and particularly the burnt offering in chapter 1 and the meal offering in chapter 2. There's a variety of things offered, a bullock in one instance, a turtle dove in another instance, still yet the burnt offering, but of different scale, of different size particularly. And then in chapter 2, where the meal offering is spoken of, different types there as well. One cake, one fine flour, and one grain still in the ear. We're going to see the same point emphasized in this passage. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
You will ask me, Brother Lee, are there many Christs? In Leviticus chapter 1, unveiling the burnt offering about Christ. How many kinds? Burnt offerings. Christ as a burnt offering is unveiled in at least five items. Firstly, bullock, then sheep, and then goats, then the cattle, then the birds, two kinds, turtle dove, a young pigeon. All these just typify one Christ. Why five kinds? Not only so, in Leviticus chapter 2, concerning the meal offering, there are at least three kinds. Firstly, the fine flour. Another kind is a wafer, like a cake. Fine flour is powder. A wafer is a cake. Then, lastly, also you have the grain in ears. The grain not touched, remaining in the ears. How many kinds? three kinds. You are so weak in Christ. You cannot eat the grain in years. You can eat the powder like a baby food. Then you grow. You experience Christ today not as fine flowers, but as what? As a wafer. And the wafer is not flour, that's true. It's not baby food, but still with holes. Those holes sympathize with your weakness. Think about it. Same Christ typified by three kinds of grain. One Christ in many types, and one Christ in many sizes. Now, the allotment of the land indicates they are possessors of the land are different. Good ones allotted with the better pieces. The bad ones allotted with inferior parts. You know, you enjoy Christ. You eat Christ. So you are Judah. You eat the best part of the land, and the best part constitutes you as the best. You are what you eat. Now you know, this is the significance of God's ordination. Amen. In allotting the good land into his people in different degrees.
Ron, this I think is a big help, this portion, because it's not that the Christ that I have may be inferior to your Christ, but the Christ that I enjoy is Christ becoming to me what I can bear and enjoy, just as we wouldn't hand an ear of corn on the cob to an infant, a baby, would we?
No, and so we see that we differ in our capacity
right
to experience and enjoy Christ. And we hope that by experiencing and enjoying Christ, our capacity would increase. So if we consider Christ typified by the burnt offering in Leviticus 1, for some, their Christ is a pigeon, and others it may be a lamb. But for someone like Paul, it was a bullock, the same Christ. The one burnt offering, the one absolutely for God, offered to him for his satisfaction, is unchanging in himself and not subject to variation in himself. But when this Christ is experienced by us, he differs not in himself but in our experience as determined by our capacity. So we may all have Christ as our burnt offering, but some capacity is smaller, he's a pigeon. Others, their capacity is greater, and so they have a larger Christ in their experience. It is the same unique, one, unchanging, unvarying Christ who is different in our experience of him as determined by our present capacity to experience him.
Well, you referred to 1 Corinthians as a New Testament example of this same principle. In this last segment, Witness Lee will also bring up Romans chapter 12, where Paul says that to be sober-minded as God has apportioned to each a measure of faith. For just as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function. So faith is measured even in the New Testament. Let's go back to Witness Lee.
If ever then I surely come to Joshua, you are not fair. For you allot such a best part to Judah, and to me the worst. You are not fair. If I did this, Joshua, it's not up to me. This is according to God's ordination. And this is clearly recorded in the New Testament. To each one of us, there is a measure of faith. So, in Romans 12, we are told all are members of the same Christ, but their kind measure differs, right? We have to see all of these is up to God's ordination. The land given to Israel was according to God's ordination. And the people of Israel being the possessors, this is also according to God's ordination. God's ordination is everything. This is the record of the Bible. But you need the best, the proper way to interpret it. You cannot interpret any of the Old Testament or of the New Testament according to letters and according to your natural concept and according to tradition teachings. You can only interpret the Bible according to full scope, full view of the entire Holy Scripture.
This really underscored, I think, a point you were making a moment ago, Ron, about the portion that our brother enjoyed and that we all benefited from. And it even was manifest in the opening up of these Old Testament passages very much, wasn't it?
It is, and we see this is not something that we can choose for ourselves. I appreciated the emphasis on this is God's ordination.
Right.
God's ordination. God has set the members in the body, every one of them, as it has pleased him. According to the member we are, we have a certain capacity related to both faith and grace. And it doesn't mean one member is inferior to another. It means, rather, that the functions differ, and the capacity is related to the function. If we see this, there will be no competition, there will be no envy. There is one Christ, there is one body. We all are members of the one body, and we all have a portion of the one Christ allotted experientially to us. The allotments differ, and they differ according to God's ordination. God has set the members. God has measured out faith, God has measured out grace, and God has allotted to God's people their respective portions of Christ. It takes the whole body to experience the whole Christ. We are members of the body. We have a limited capacity, but we have our measure of faith, our measure of grace, and our portion of Christ. And the Christ of whom we have a portion is the all-inclusive Christ, the unsearchably rich Christ, the universally extensive Christ, the immeasurable Christ. So we have a portion of such a Christ, differing by degree according to what we are under God's ordination. If we would be at peace with this, if we would be content with this, experiencing and enjoying Christ allotted to us by God, the desire of God's heart to have the organic body of Christ in reality and practicality will be fulfilled even in our lifetime. But this has much to do with our receiving with thanksgiving the Christ allotted to us by God for our experience and enjoyment.
Let's end right there, Ron. That's a fitting point. Thank you for your fellowship.
You're welcome.
Always. And we invite you to contact us if you'd like to get more information about what we brought you today and also the printed life study message that accompanies it. Our toll-free number, if you would like to contact us, 1-888-LIFE-STUDY, 888-543-3788. For Ron Kangas, I'm Chris Wild. Thank you very much for listening today.
Receive us into thy wise hand.
Thank you for listening to Life Study of the Bible with Witness Lee, brought to you by Living Stream Ministry. Witness Lee spent 7 decades in the 20th century speaking Christ, first in Asia and then North America, eventually all over the world. The culmination of those 70 years of ministry was his Life Study of the Bible, an exhaustive exposition of the entire Scriptures. This unique commentary focuses on how Christ can be life to man in an experiential and practical way. These programs encapsulate Witness Lee's speaking in just 26 minutes. But to get the complete riches, visit lifestudy.com. From there, you can read all of the Life Study messages in their entirety or download any of our more than 1,700 audio programs at no cost. Again, that website is lifestudy.com. Thanks for listening.